Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 10. Hallelujah. Exodus, chapter 10. And we're going to begin reading at verse 18. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. You gave your word to us to heal us physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and to show us your supernatural power. Bless our service today, Lord, our time in the Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 10, begin reading at verse 18. Hallelujah. This is right in the middle of the plagues of the locusts, so we really wouldn't have time to read the whole chapter, but it says, "So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord." Pharaoh had asked him to take away the locusts. Imagine that. "And so he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord." He prayed to God. "And the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. And there remained not one locust in the territory of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go." Now, it is just as much a miracle that Pharaoh continues to be cantankerous in spite of all this. I mean, what idiot couldn't figure it out by now that you cannot win fighting against God, right? But he did. "And so the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go." Now, you know, the devil doesn't want to let you go. Doesn't want to let you go spiritually. He doesn't want to let you go physically. You say, "Well, where am I going physically?" I'm going to heaven in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. "And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt." I had someone say to me, "You can't feel darkness." I tell them what Brother Red Crawley said. Go to the state penitentiary down in the pit where the murderers are, down in that lowest place, and just walk down through there. The hairs on your arm will stand up because of the darkness you can feel. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness all over the land of Egypt for 3 days, and they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. Now, I have been in a place where it is dark. It's really rare. You can lock yourself in a room and you can put tin foil over the windows, and it can be night, and it can be so dark you cannot see your hand in front of your face. This was what it was like, 3 days and three nights in the land of Egypt. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Imagine that. There are some people believe that we'll go through the tribulation. I don't believe we'll go through the great tribulation. We may go through part of the first 7 years. I don't know. But I do know this. Whatever I go through, God is going to be there. While there's darkness all around me, he's the light. While there's wickedness all around me, I said he's the light. While there's perils all around me, I said he's the light. Amen. Then Pharaoh called Moses and he said, "Go serve the Lord your God. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you." Now, I believe all dogs go to heaven, and probably the cats too, Nola. I'm being ornery. But I'm not really looking at these cattle as the cattle here in a spiritual analogy. I'm looking as those people who may not feel worthy to go. You see, the devils will say, "Well, I'll let the pastors go, but not the rest of you guys. Or I'll let the praise leaders go, but I'll let the people who always know the word go, but not you secondhand Christians who struggle with this or that, you know." But look what Moses said in verse 25. "You must also give us sacrifice and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice the Lord God. Our livestock shall go with us, not a hoof shall be left behind. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Not a hoof shall be left behind. We must take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. I tell you what, I got good news for you. The devil's been lying to you about the rapture. Not one hoof is going to be left behind. Amen. It seems like that God raised up some people to write these books called Left Behind. But when I read the New Testament, Paul did not say in a moment twinkling in the eye, some of you people who have professed your faith in Jesus Christ are going up and some are going to be left behind. He didn't say that, did he? He said the dead in Christ, I think that means all of them, and we which are alive and remain, I think that means all of us, are going up. Not one hoof is going to be left behind. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid because I know in whom I believed. Amen. And not one hoof is going to be left behind. Now, the fear of being left behind, God is not the author of fear, is he? If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, I mean, think about it. If all you have to do to be saved is to believe, then isn't that enough? What do I have to do to be left behind? Not believe? Well, I believe. Amen. I have put my faith in, we talked about this morning in Galatians, it's not the works of the law, it's the faith in what Jesus did. Amen. The same Jesus that bled and suffered and died to save me from hell will save me from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. Now here's what the Word of God says. I quote a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Wonder why he's shouting. Because his bride is coming home. Hallelujah. I always used to say this thing, and I know you guys have heard me say it before. This is the happiest day of my life. Right after Charlie's Chicken, the new one, reopened, Kaylee and I were there. There was this old woman. I mean, she looked like she's in her 90s, kind of the cantankerous type. And I was up there, and I said, this is the happiest day of my life. And she said, why? All right. Did you get married today? I said, no, they got ice cream. She looked at me like I was crazy. But I'm here to tell you, the happiest day of my life is going to be seeing Jesus face to face. Isn't that going to be the happiest day for you? And the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, not one hoof left behind. Amen. Hallelujah. So Pharaoh tried to keep some behind, and Moses and the Israelites have certainly had some hard times. But there came a day when the blood of the Passover delivered them out of Pharaoh's hands. Amen. Hallelujah. The blood still delivers today. Aren't you glad we got the blood? Aren't you glad the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin? Aren't you glad that we are in a blood covenant with the God of the universe? Hallelujah. What kind of covenant are we in? A blood covenant. Amen. I'm in a blood covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the blood covenant on the Passover delivered them from the angel of death. And the blood covenant we have today is delivering us from the wrath of God. Amen. That's why Paul said, comfort one another with these words. These are comforting words. You will not be left behind. You will go up when we all go up. Amen. That's the kind of God I serve. He's an all-inclusive God. I'm not talking about all-inclusive outside of the body of Christ. I'm talking about all-inclusive in the body of Christ. Amen? If you're born again, then you're saved. Then you're saved from the wrath to come. Not one hoof will be left behind. Glory to God. You know, we talk about prophecy, and some people get scared. And they say, well, that stuff just scares me. Well, the reason Paul said, comfort one another with these words is because he wanted people to know the Thessalonians were scared. They were scared. Oh, the wrath of God. Paul said, hang on, let me write this letter and set you guys straight. See, Thessalonians, there was two letters written, right? 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. But after 1st Thessalonians, there was a forgery that was written from some guy claiming he was Paul sent to the Thessalonians, and it made them think they got left behind, that the day of the Lord had already came. So in 2nd Thessalonians, he says something about as if a letter by me, because he set the record straight. You have not been left behind. Here's what's going to happen. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive are going to be caught up. So comfort one another with these words. No hoof left behind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why are we not going to be left behind? Because we're not of this world. Amen. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. There is a difference, you know. Viola can watch her basketball. That doesn't mean she's going to be left behind. I can hang Star Trek stuff on my wall. Doesn't mean I'm going to be left behind. Because this is just stuff. I don't worship it. It's just stuff to pass the time. There's people that like to go fishing. Some people like to go fishing so much, they have wives called fishermen's widows, right? Because that's what they like to do. As long as it's not their idol, as long as they've got Jesus on the throne, they're not going to be left behind. Amen? Because they know. So we're in the world, but not of the world. John 17, 14, 16, I have given them your word. This was Jesus speaking. And the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore. Aren't you glad we're not of the world anymore? Before I got saved, I was of the world. I looked at the world as having the answers. That's what it means being in the world, of the world. You look to the world for the answer. You look to your politicians to fix things. I got news for you. They can't fix it. They can't fix it because there's going to be a government change pretty soon. I said the king is coming. And his name isn't Trump and his name isn't Clinton. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so Jesus said, I have given them your word and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world as I am not of it. Number 2, John 15, 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. Have you ever had anybody hate you and you didn't understand why? It's not you, it's the Jesus in you. You've been taken out of the world. If you were part of this worldly system, it would love you. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not part of this worldly system, aren't you? I'm glad I've been taken out of the world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. John, number 3, John 8, 22. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are not of this world. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And so we see Jesus obviously was not of this world. Number 4, 1 John 4, 5. They are from the world and therefore speak from their viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. They all talk to one another because they're on this plane, but we're on this plane. Amen. Now, Satan is the god of this world. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The devil runs the show, but the show's about to change. God's getting ready to change the channel. For you guys too young to know what that means. We say, we had remotes back when I was a kid. I was the remote. Go change that channel. God's getting ready to change the channel. John 16, 11. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Jesus judged him on the cross. Slapped a hair lip on him, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he's just living out his sentence until judgment day comes. Amen. He's waiting. He knows his time is short. He's rolling up his sleeves, getting ready to try something. But I got news for him. Where every hoof is going, not one hoof is going to be left behind. We're getting ready to go up. Hallelujah. Not one hoof is going to be left behind. Listen, Pharaoh, I got news for you. We're going, and not one devil, not one hoof is going to be left behind. Number 7, John 12:31. The time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. That's what Jesus, that's what my king said. Yeah, let's give Jesus a hand clap for beating the devil this morning. Woo! Hallelujah! I want to read that one again. The time, this is John 12:31. The time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. Glory to God, yes. Number 8, 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. The one who's in me is greater than the one who's in the world. I remember years ago someone asked Brother Shambach, how is this rapture thing going to work? He said, God's just going to take the Holy Spirit up. And the Holy Spirit's in us, so we're just going to go with him. It's kind of like, how do I get from the 5th floor to the 8th floor? I get in the elevator. I don't move from the 5th floor to the 8th floor. The elevator moves. I'm in it. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is all around me, and when he goes up, he's my elevator. Hallelujah. And some say, well, is God really going to take the Holy Spirit off the earth? Just long enough to get us there, and then he's going to pour it out on the nation Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. And so we're called to be different from the world. Romans 12:1-2, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, this is Paul speaking, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so we are to show our proper worship for God. We're not to be conformed to the patterns of this world. Number 10, James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God, or war against God? Hallelujah. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Well, that's some harsh stuff, isn't it? I don't want to be a friend of this world. I don't know about you guys, but I hate this world. Don't you just hate this world? It's a fallen world. It's full of wickedness and corruption. It's full of perversion. Everything around you tries to pull you away from a loving relationship with your heavenly Father. I hate this world. This world is not my home. But boy, what a world is going to be in a few years when the King comes back, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know, that I love that verse in Isaiah where they say, this is the Lord, we have waited for him. You know who they're saying it to? They're saying to all these people that have given you a hard time and mocked you when you told them Jesus is coming again. Amen. You guys thought we were crazy. You thought we were religious fanatics. But come here, I want you to meet some. This is the Lord. We waited for him. Hallelujah. And not one hoof is going to be left behind. Praise God. James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship of the world... Oh, I read that. Okay, number 11. I'm sorry. 1 John 2:15. Do you love this world? Do not love this world and the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away, along with everything the people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? We all like our little trinkets, a little Star Trek room, but it's fading away. It's just stuff. It's all going to burn. We used to say that in the old days. Have you ever heard that before? It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. This world is not our home. just passing through. We're just ambassadors in a foreign land, amen? You know, we have ambassadors in Israel. We have ambassadors in the Middle East. We have ambassadors in China. And you know, and they have ambassadors here. And this is not their country. And those people, our ambassadors over there, that's not our country. And, you know, the America is changed. They're trying to take away patriotism and God and country and diminish borders. But you know what? God said that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. And I think that sin bringing the reproach is causing the nation to not be exalted. But I love patriotism. My father fought for righteous cause in World War II. Amen. There is good and there is evil in the world. And, you know, when you read about King David going to war against the Philistines, you know, you say, well, does God condone war? God condones righteousness. And sometimes there are righteous causes for war. And all of that's been diminished. Everything is being blurred by the political correctness of our age. But we're not to love the world. We're to love God. Amen. And God is going to call us out. You know, it's going to get darker. It's going to get darker. It's going to get darker. And then we're going to get to that place. You know, Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, if there's 50 righteous, will you not spare it? All right, for 50, for 40, for 30. And when he finally gets to a number that's less than Lot and his family, then he didn't rain judgment on Lot and his family. He just took them out. And not one hoof was left behind. Took them out. And that day is coming soon. See, our home is in heaven. John 18:36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place. His kingdom is from above. Amen. But the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. The kingdom is coming. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Word of God is called a seed in the Bible. Jesus did the parable of the sower that went forth to sow the seed, and when he explained it, he said, the seed is the Word of God, right? So we understand that this is a seed. And the question is, how do I get other people to get to go with me? Because I have loved ones' hoofs I don't want left behind. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? I'm glad that the church is going, but I don't want to just live on a mountaintop when I know there's lost people down in the valley. And so the question is, how do I do this? And so you can't really get people to say, here, read John, and you can get saved, you know. But I don't want to read John. I don't believe that stuff, right? And so I was praying. I was like, Lord, if it takes the seed of the Word to germinate in a heart to get someone saved, then how do I do that? How do we do that as believers to communicate the greatness of your love in the Word? And the Lord said, I got one seed that I've been sharing with you guys for 2,000 years. John 3:16. You know, I know I've told the story before about D.L. Moody, who went on a trip and let some young evangelist use the church. And every night he kept preaching the same text, John 3:16. And his wife would tell him, yeah, like we had to move from the basement up to the main sanctuary because it was packed. All these people are getting saved. And he keeps going, well, what's he preaching on tonight? John 3:16. It is the nucleus of the gospel. It is the seed, the one seed, that has so much power that if all you know is John 3:16, you can evoke a revival. For God so loved that person, he gave his only begotten son. That if that person person would believe, they'd have everlasting life. Wow! That's good news. That's good news. That's why it's called the gospel. It's good news. And we tend to make it so complicated. We use words like sanctification and all of these other things. And have you been baptized? And did you get filled with the Holy Ghost? And have you been slain in the Spirit? John 3:16 is the seed that can germinate into new life for anybody. Amen? And that's all I need to know. How does a person become an evangelist? Memorize John 3:16. We are all called, Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Doesn't matter if your gift is music, doesn't matter if it's preaching, doesn't matter if it's helps, doesn't matter if it's encouragement, do the work of an evangelist, because I don't want any hoof left behind. Not one. I don't want Pharaoh to get one of my sheep, one of my cattle. I don't want the devil to get one of my loved ones. Not one hoof left behind. So it's the seed. But what kind of seed is it? I love this. See, some people say, well, that's kind of old-fashioned. Everybody's heard that. They need to hear something new. That's out of touch. That's old-fashioned. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, or excuse me, 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, born again, right, into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. So this is an incorruptible seed. It doesn't change. It worked for my grandmother. It worked for the pilgrims. It worked for Billy Graham at the beginning of his ministry. It's still working today. It's an incorruptible seed. It still works today. It works in Spanish-speaking churches. It works in China, communist China. It is an incorruptible seed, and it fades not away. Reserved in heaven for you. Reserved for every hoof. Amen. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. John 3:16 is alive. It's alive. It is the incorruptible seed, and it is alive, and it is enough to communicate God's grace and love so that not one hoof will be left by. You hear me, devil? Not one hoof left behind. Jude 24, now to him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. How does he do that? He's able. To him who is able. I'm just not able to live this Christian life. Welcome to the club. But he is able. Amen. He's able. And not one hoof is going to be left behind. Not one hoof. Don't you listen to the devil. He's a liar. He's a liar. Don't you let him bring condemnation on you. Not one hoof is going to be left behind. Keep your eyes on the prize. Pack your bags. We're going up. We're going up. We're going up. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's not only able, he can keep it. He can keep it. You see, we think when we first bowed our knee at an altar somewhere and said yes to Jesus, that was a long time ago. That was 2 minutes ago to him. And he's been holding you in his hand ever since. Jesus said that you're in my hand and no man can snatch you out of my hand. And then he said you're in the Father's hand. I love the way Chuck Misler put it. See if I can do this without dropping the microphone. That's Jesus in God's hand. And you are firmly in it. Amen. You're firmly in it. And if you can't make it with that, then God's going to have to change his name to Butterfingers. But I'm telling you, God is not Butterfingers. He's got you. He's got you. Not one hoof is going to be left behind. God has got you. Amen. Come on up, Nola. Luke 21:28. Jesus said, and when these things begin to come to pass, we've been watching the headlines. We see violence. We see terrorism. There's a looming World War III between U.S. and Russia starting in Syria, just waiting for one shot to be fired the wrong way. We are in perilous times, as Paul told Timothy. But Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, look up. Your redemption is drawn nigh. Not one foot, not one hoof left behind. Come on, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let's do Blood Bought Church. This is a good Blood Bought Church song.
All right.
Hallelujah. Not one hoof left behind. Do you love Jesus this morning? How can you not love someone that loves you so much? Amen. Yeah, come on up here.
I got to find it first.
Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It must be in
the... Praise the Lord. I didn't mean to catch you off guard, sis.
Oh, it's okay.
No. I could hum it for you. I don't
know. Yeah, I don't have it. I don't have my chords with me. I don't know where they're at.
Uh-oh.
They're right there on the...
Yeah, they're somewhere.
Well, that's all right. If you don't have it, that's all right. We can do something else. Do something happy.
I'm so sorry.
It's in this one.
Yeah, we can sing an a cappella.
Okay.
We will lift up our voice. I don't know how it goes. Praise God. Let's pray while they're looking for that. Father, we thank you today that not one hoof shall be left behind. And I pray, Lord, if the devil is bringing condemnation on anyone today because of the weakness of their flesh, that you would help settle it forever now in their heart, that you paid the full price, and that they should not look at their weakness but your strength, that you're able to keep that which they've committed unto you against that day. And no one is going to be left behind who has put their faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We found it.
Praise the Lord.
You gonna sing?
We just needed to pray. Grab that mic, Ron, if you want to. Come on up.
Lift up their voice, they shall sing with joy. They shall cry aloud and be seen. They shall glorify the name of the Lord. It's a blood bought the church that redeemed. It's the blood bought the church that redeemed. And we are in the army of the Lord. We've been marched in the blood, and we are going forward. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force with a shout of praise. To end its sword, every stronghold bondage shall fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive shall be free. Our deliverance has come through the power of the sun. The blood bought the church the redeemed. Oh, let the earth be silent, all the winds cease to blow. Create anything, hold your wings. There's a new song being sung with a new melody. It's the blood bought the church the redeemed. We are, and we are in that army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop mighty moving force. A shout of praise, the two-edged sword. Every stronghold and bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. Well, our deliverance has come through the power of the sun. It's the blood bought the church the redeemed. Let the earth be silent, let the wind cease to blow. Every created being hold your wings. There's a new song being sung with a new melody. It's the blood bought the church the redeemed. The redeemed, the redeemed, the redeemed, the redeemed, the redeemed.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
I knew I had it in there.
Not one hoof. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a hug before you go.